Learn Persian with Chai and Conversation, Culture, Ferdowsi's Shahnameh, The Tale of Zahak, the Serpent Demon King, Part 4, with Dr. Safa Shayani. Hello and welcome to part 4 of our conversation about Zahak the Serpent King. As you can see, we're still workshopping that title. We're gonna get it by part 7, I guess. That's a testament to keep going with this particular series, Sapo, so we can keep working on this title.
Yes, you're right.
But here we are. The content is good, even if the packaging needs work.
The package is perfect.
Okay, so we're continuing with the tale of Zahak the Serpent King. As we heard in the last lesson, the last episode, we'd just gotten this terrible news that caused Zahak to fall off of his chair along with his serpents. He fell off and his legs were dangling in the air and the serpents were going this way and that because he'd gotten some terrible news. So if you want to kind of do a little summary of what the news was, and we can go into our next lesson.
Yes. So as we said in our last session, the Magi had essentially interpreted Zahak's dream for him. Out of this large group of Magi, none of them could bring themselves to say it except for one. And he basically said, listen, my man, every king's time comes to an end and someone else takes their throne. In your case, it's going to be a boy that has not yet been born. He's going to be named Afridun or Feridun. And he is going to come to your court with a bull-headed mace. And he's going to whack it on your head and bind you and drag you out of the court into the middle of the streets.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And Zahak did not like that. And as Leila John drew that beautiful image for us, he fell off his throne and started flailing about with his legs and his hands. And his <snip. laughs>
I really like that. I need to get it. I'm going to commission an artist to paint
you
that.
Sure.
That's going to be my image that I'm going to put here instead of my husband's architecture drawings. What, just like FYI.
One of those live ones, you know, like on an iPad that just keeps flailing.
Because, yeah, the Serpent King can seem very scary, but once you picture him like that.
In some ways, it's weird. He's actually, I don't find him scary because the scary thing is that he's evil. Like he eats, you know, the brains of youth, you know, that's the scary part. But he himself is kind of like a dud a little bit. You're like, you know.
Interesting.
Not a very commanding presence, in my opinion.
That's true. Yeah. He needed the serpents. He needed all that like extra stuff to make him. Because he was a. Like it said in the beginning of the chapter, actually, this is a good recap to do too, is that he wasn't bad. Like he did good things and bad. Like he was just going was with just, the wind.
Yeah, he was just kind of, he didn't have roots. Like he didn't have, it's interesting because it just basically sounds like he didn't have a good set of, like he didn't have values. He didn't have like a set of things that he's like, this is what I stand by in life. You know what I mean? He kind of just like blew with the wind.
Exactly. Who's that reference to? The wind. I'll look it up while we're.
I don't know, but anyway. We say in Persian, we say someone is hezbebad. They're on the part, the political party of the wind. So meaning they blow in whichever way that benefits them or that is more convenient, essentially.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and thus here we begin the story of. Afridun, or Faridun, or as we call him today, Feridun. So Ferdowsi tells us that Feridun is born to the father named Abtin and a mother named Faranak. And when he is still an infant, Abtin is killed at the hands of Zahak's men. And Pharaonak, having seen what has happened to her partner, to her husband, she flees. She flees and realizes that she needs to hide her son in order to keep him safe. So Ferdowsi says, خردمند مام فریدون چو دید که بر جفت او برچنان بد رسید فرانک بودش نام و فرخنده بود به مهر فریدون دل آگنده بود دوان داغ دل خسته روزگار همی رفت پویان بدان مرغزار کجا نام ورگاو برمایه بود که نابسته بر تنش پیرایه بود به پیش نگهبان آن مرغزار خروشید و بارید خون بر کنار بدو گفت کین کودک شیرخوار ز من روزگاری به زنهار دار پدروارش از مادر اندر پذیر و زین گاو نغزش بپرور بشیر So Ferdowsi tells us that Feridun's wise mother Pharaonak flees to the outskirts, and there she finds a village man who has a cow. Now this cow, this bull, is a very important part of the story. And actually, I forgot to mention it in our last session when the Magi is recounting to Zahok as to what's going to happen to him. Zahok says, "Why does Feridun want to kill me?" And the Magi says, "Because you kill his father, and because you kill the bull, the cow I should say, because bulls are male, the cow that raises him, that rears him."
Wow. So, and is it right that the mace has a cow head on it?
Exactly. The mace has a cow head on it because of this connection. Okay. And this again links, in my opinion, to the Indo-Aryan roots of the Shahnameh, in which cows, and we see this in Hinduism, for example.
Yes.
Cows are seen as blessed creatures, right? As holy creatures. Mm. And so you see this in the story of the Shahnameh. When Pharaonak flees to the outskirts and with Feridun, she takes Feridun as a baby to this village man and gives it to him and says, please raise this baby, keep him safe here, and rear him on the milk of this beautiful cow. Now, this beautiful cow has a name. Her name is Barmaye. And Barmaye's special feature is that she's multicolored. She and Ferdowsi compares her to a peacock very often. But she's this wondrous cow that creation has never seen before, and that she's like this multicolored cow.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, it's very cool. I love this imagery. This is something for artists to work on. I don't think anyone's ever, I've never seen a painting of Barmaye. That would be very cool, actually. You know, like an imagine.
Yeah, it's not in our illustrated Shahnameh.
I haven't seen it, no.
Okay.
No. But so Pharaonak leaves Feridun there with this man, and he raises him for, I think, like 3 to 4 years, essentially. Feridun is there being fed the milk of Barmaye and essentially being raised by Barmaye. So Barmaye takes on the role of a daye for Feridun, or a wet nurse, essentially. And then what ends up happening is that Pharaonak has a divine intuition not long after like 4 years passes, that Feridun is no longer safe in the mountains with this man, in the countryside, sorry, with this man and Barmaye. So she goes back to him in secret and says, I'm going to take my child and I'm going to go to Alborz Kuh, take him to Alborz Kuh and hide him there. And Ferdowsi says, this is from through the voice of Pharaonak, ببرم پی از خاک جادوستان شوم با پسر سوی هندوستان شوم ناپدید از میان گروه برم خوب رخ را به البرز کوه. So he says to the village man who's raised Feridun that I'm going to ببرم پی از خاک جادوستان, I'm going to disappear, I'm going to cut all ties with the land of Jadustan, with this land of Jadu, this land of magic, meaning the domain of Zahag. Shavam ba pesar suye Hindustan, and I'm going to go towards Hindustan with my son. Yeah? شوم ناپدید از میان گروه. I'm going to disappear from amongst the masses, the people. برم خوبرخ را به البرز کوه. And I'm going to take this beautiful child to Mount Elburz. Now here we have a little bit of a disconnect where he's saying, I'm going to go to Hindustan, but I'm going to take the child to Elburz Kuh. And Elburz Kuh, of course, Elburz Kuh, you know, sometimes these things in the mythical landscape of the Shahnameh move around. So Elburz Kuh in modern day Iran is in northern Iran, is Kuh Elburz and such.
Yeah.
But in the Shahnameh, it's somehow being linked to Hindustan. Perhaps this is something that I'm not aware of, but it's, I think it's just, it's a little bit of that mythical landscape, essentially, and that things aren't exactly in the places that we assume them to be to in this day. Okay. And so she escapes. She escapes to the mountains, to Mount Elburz, and there she sees another old man, a pious old man, Ferdowsi tells us. And Faranak tells him, oh, pious man, I am a sugvar, I am a mourning one from Iran Zamin. I've come here from Iran Zamin in mourning, and I've brought my child because my child is not safe there, because the king is after him. May I leave him with you and you take care of him. He is going to be a great king himself. He is going to release us from this yoke of this thousand-year-old yoke of Zahak. Will you hide him, give him shelter, and protect him? And the man agrees. The old man agrees, and he keeps Feridun there for almost 16 years or 12 years, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, going back to where Feridun had been hidden before in the countryside, Zahak's men finally, after searching the world over, find the village where Feridun had been kept, and they attack the village, attack his home. And in not finding Feridun, they kill Barmaye, just as the prophecy had been told. And they set the house on fire and return back to the court of Zahak. Then Ferdowsi tells us, when 16 years pass from Feridun's age, when he turns 16, he inquires as to his origins from his mother Faranak. Ferdowsi says, که بگذشت بر آفریدون دو هشت ز البرز کوه اندر آمد به در بر مادر آمد پژوهید و گفت که بگشای بر من نهان از نهفت بگویی مرا تا که بودم پدر یم من به تخم از کدامینم گوهر. So Feridun asks his mother, what are my origins? Where do I come from? What are my roots? And Faranak says to him, I will tell you everything. Your father was named Optin. He was a great man of Iran, and whose lineage goes back to Tahmures and the ancient kings of Iran.
Mm-hmm.
But Zahak, the evil one, killed your father, and out of your safety, I took you to a village man in the countryside, and he raised you and off the milk of Barmaye, this wondrous cow. And this wondrous cow sustained you throughout life until I realized that you were no longer safe there. And I brought you then to Hindustan and to the mountain of Elburz. You've been hidden here from the evil of Zahak, who is out to get you.
Hmm. And I want to also point out that this is the second time that we've seen a child with a great father that's raised by an animal.
Yes, you're right.
That's so funny. And it continues on throughout. There's so many children that are not raised by their fathers, but that have great fathers. And so it tells us a lot about like genetics versus rearing. Like they do need something, a great entity to raise them as well.
Yes.
But it also relies a lot on their genes.
Yes. I mean, this is, you know, for better or for worse, I feel like it's also a very Iranian concept, this sort of like the seed that you're from, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Your origins. So in this case, especially when it's for a king, they have to be from the seed of another great king. Otherwise, they become an usurper, essentially.
Right.
And for that far, that divine glory to crown them, essentially.
Right.
So this is very important. So when Fereydun hears all of this, he says that, okay, then my goal, my mission is to return to Iran to cast off this evil King Zahak from the throne and to take up the Iranian throne and bring it to justice again. And so he makes the effort to do as such.
All right.
Yeah. And I think we leave it here and then continue next time to see how does this come about and who are the players who are involved in bringing about the downfall of Zahak.
Very exciting. So then what about the concept of like an animal being raising a child? Can you talk a little bit more about that?
You know, I think it's something that we find in quite a lot of tales and myths, essentially. I mean, you see it in the origins of the origin story of Rome, for example.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Brothers are raised by wolves, you know. I think it's something that really someone could write a dissertation on if they already haven't, or something that could be really studied in depth. But I think it goes to show you that at the time when humans fail, or at the time when humans have no recourse, animals, being also divinely created beings, can step in and play that nurturing role, you know? And maybe perhaps it speaks to our duality as human beings too, in that we are animals, mm-hmm. and so another animal can raise and tend to a human being, but that our essence is then different from that of an animal's, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, these animals often tend to be quite unique too, at least in the Iranian construct, right? So Fereydun is reared by Barmaye, the cow, but Barmaye isn't just any cow.
Right.
She's multicolored, you know, this fantastic, almost magical cow that Ferdowsi tells us none in creation had ever seen before.
Right.
Zal is reared by Simorgh. And of course, you know, Simorgh is the greatest animal in the Shahnameh, in the entirety of the Shahnameh. And she's an animal who has magical powers, who speaks, and who time and time again saves Iran from destruction, essentially, or saves Iran in its path to accomplishing greatness, you know?
Right, right.
So they're not just regular animals either, to some extent.
Right.
But I think you touched upon a very important subject, I think. It's this beautiful concept that animals come into play when humans can't, for some reason, do, you know? And mm-hmm. in the case of Zal, for example, you see that humans can't rear the child or raise the child because of shame and because of social constructs, right?
Right. And Seymour comments on this and says, you know, this man has failed the child in a way that animals would never fail a child.
Exactly. And Simorgh there shows you that at times animals can even be nobler, more noble than humans, perhaps.
Wonderful.
That actually is very interesting because, you know, in Persian, sometimes when you want to curse someone out or you want to say something bad about them, you might say that they're like a hayvan, they're like an animal. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes, especially if someone's very violent, you know,
mm-hmm.
But then people point out that animals don't kill unless it's to eat. So unless it's for sustenance. So often animals do behave more kindly. And this is why human beings have to rein in their animal side, too. We have a greater responsibility in that sense. But yeah, it's fascinating that they are raised, these two great men, two great king, or, you know, paladins of the Shahnameh, one a hero, one a king, are raised by animals, actually. Yeah.
And I guess later when we get to Rustam, he's not raised by an animal, but his horse plays such a big role in his greatness.
Yes, and he's protected by the magic of Simorgh constantly. Mm-hmm. So right. There is another animal that comes into play there.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's a good cliffhanger for next time. Is there anything you want people to be thinking of before we get into the next section?
No, I think we're in the same vein as before, you know. It's interesting to see also that this boy who is raised in the wild again, you know, not even by animals, but away from greatness and grandeur and pomp, is going to return to bring justice and equilibrium. It also points to an essential fact that equilibrium can come out of nature too. When humanity's equilibrium is upset, perhaps the answer comes out of nature itself. Like these children, like Zal or Fereydoun, come out of the countryside or the mountains, and they restore that equilibrium to humanity.
Right. Well, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for this next part. I'm super excited to see what comes next, for the story's building, the pressure is building.
Yes.
Let's see what happens. And oh, one note that I want to leave everyone on is when I was little, I moved to the U.S. when I was 4 years old, and one of the first things that I got was a bald little Cabbage Patch doll. This was in the 80s. They were the biggest things in the world. So I had this little bald baby Cabbage Patch doll, and I named the little baby Cabbage Patch doll Fereydoun. I don't know what. So that has always been a very precious name for me. I don't know what about it. Leaving Iran and coming here and having this little baby doll, Fereydoun. I had no idea the significance of the name, but Fereydoun holds a very special place in my heart. My baby Cabbage Patch doll. So on that note, thank you so much, Sapojan, and until next time.
Until next time.